Our thought for the study is defeating the devil through daily devotions. Defeating the devil through daily devotions. And we get that in Matthew 4 when Jesus was being directly and personally attacked by the devil himself. And as a defense, he quotes three different times from the scriptures, and all three of those passages are found in one book of the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy. I think that's eye-catching. I think that's there's something to that. Jesus, being the living word, could have quoted any verse. And there's multiple verses that will address almost any subject. So Jesus could have quoted a variety of passages in a variety of different places throughout the scripture to have addressed the devil and would have been effective. It would have been effective. But he quoted all three times, and we're going to read it in just a moment, he quoted out of the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 8, verse 3, chapter 6, verse 16, and then chapter 6, verse 13. And it is believed that the reason Jesus quoted from the book of Deuteronomy in his defense against being defeated, because the devil was attacking him, he used that out of the same book, because it is believed that that was the book of his meditation. And two of the three that he quoted in Matthew 4 is in chapter 6. One chapter. The other's in chapter 8. So that could have been where he was at in his meditation. You say, well, he was the Son of God. He didn't do that. Well, you use that. If that is what you think, then you could use that same mentality to say, well, he was the Son of God. He didn't pray. Why would he want to pray? He was God manifest in the flesh. But then we know, look at the scriptures that verify that Jesus many times would spend all night in prayer. Jesus would pull himself apart and sometimes would go into a mountain to pray. Sometimes it would say that he's going into a desert place to get alone with and fellowship with God. Amen. And so here we find that he's using a defense against the devil that you and I can use. I think it's worth repeating that the book he quoted from, I have in my Bible. It's not that he used something that I don't have or I don't know where it's at. And, you know, he quoted from one of the books of the Pentateuch, the book of Deuteronomy, and I have that and you have that in your Bible. And I believe that there's a lot of truth to be said, a lot of applications to be made in this passage to personal devotions. Jesus used, if that were the case, he used his devotions to defend against the attack of the devil. And the devil cannot override and overrule and overpower God's word. Now, he can overrule me, he can overrule and overpower me and overwhelm me, but he can't overwhelm and overpower and overrule the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God, he's held in check with the Word of God. Amen. And I think in light of that, it would do us well to learn the sword that you and I have. We would learn it. You'll never use a verse that you don't know. You'll never quote a verse you don't know. You'll never read a reference a verse. When the devil's attacking, it's good to have it in you. It's good to have it in you. And God help us to know that we all are failing in that. I think we've all failed in hiding the word in our heart like we should and could. Amen. You have to agree with that, I'm sure. If you just think about it. If you had a way of doing it, and you know how you know you, and whether it's a little index card that you write the verse on one side and the reference on the back side, and just carry it around with you through the day, would it? And I'm not saying I do this. I'm just saying that it's within our potential to learn one verse a day. Do you think that? I mean, 24 hours, or ever how many hours we're awake, and pull it out, look, hide it in our heart, get it in our memory. Amen. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." And there's something about it being in you, the word of God getting in you. Well, if you think about that and you learn just one verse a day, that's 365 verses in 1 year. What about that? I know that's way, way out there to ask God's people to do that, but what about if you did just one verse a week? Now, who on planet Earth could not memorize one verse a week? You say, well, that wouldn't be much. Well, that'd be 52 more than you knew last year. And then 2 years of that's 104. You see how it can add up. And you being saved 10, 15, 20, 30 years, whatever, you know, think of the scriptures you'd have in you. And but we don't do that, do we? It's much easier to sit around and imagine and whine and complain and murmur and why me and why now and why this instead of taking the bull by the horns. I think I was, I don't know if Brother Cody shared with you some of our conversation, but any of you, if you gain ground with God, the devil's going to focus on you. He's going to zero in on you. And that's why a lot of people don't want to gain ground with God. They'd rather be in the background. They'd rather be in the idle zone. They'd rather be in the do-nothing category just so the devil will leave them alone. But what are you going to do at a judgment seat? What are you going to do when you go to heaven and you're empty-handed? You don't have a crown or you don't have any rewards to lay at the feet of Jesus. Amen. And we ought to hate the devil enough to want to gain ground. Amen. I mean, don't run from him. Don't run from him. I mean, I'm not going to go chasing him. Hello. I'm not going to put the devil in my GPS and say, go find him. I'm not going to go find him, but I don't want to let it scare me and cause me to withdraw. Amen. I'm afraid and I'm fearful. And I was telling Brother Cody, I don't know why I'm bringing this out, but I felt like, you know, a lot of people can identify, the devil's fighting me. They'll say that. The devil's fighting me. The devil's attacking me. Well, what are you doing about it? Well, I'm just rolling with the punches. In other words, you're a punching bag. You're not fighting back. You're just taking it. That's not what the devil... That don't cause the devil to flee. The Bible said resist the devil and he'll flee. And we have here in the scripture where Jesus was being attacked personally and directly, and how that he was victorious. How? He defended with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Amen. Let's read it. Verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written. He's talking about the written word of God with that statement. You agree with that, surely? It is written. He's talking about the written word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And it's worth pointing out here again who it was that's quoting that scripture. Don't forget it, the devil probably knows the Bible more than we do. But he's a master at misquoting. And I'm going to deal with it tonight. But if you don't have discernment, you'll think that's God talking to you. Wow, this must be of God. God, give me this scripture. Hey, you better have some discernment, because the devil knows he can use the word. Or rather, I should say, he'll misuse the word. That's how he got to Eve. He attacked her based on her knowledge of the scripture of what God said. And then he came in and questioned it. Hath God said? Hath God said? Did God really say that? You know, and then he started adding to the word. And listen, you need to know your Bible. We need to know our Bible. I believe that, one of the minor prophets, maybe the book of Amos, I can't remember exactly, wasn't planning to use it tonight, but the Bible said that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now that verse right there tells me that the devil can take advantage of ignorance. The devil can take advantage of you not knowing. He can lead you because you don't know. He can influence you because you don't know. The devil's dread is to meet up with somebody that says, wait a minute, I know this verse. Wait a minute, I know what the Bible says. Amen. And I'm siding with the scripture, and the devil will have to say, well, you know what? I can't defeat you. Jesus set the precedent. I can't defeat you. I couldn't defeat him, and I can't defeat you. By the way, listen now. Jesus in Matthew 4 was dealing with the devil from a human perspective. He never once used divinity, his divinity and sovereignty, and him being God. He never one time used that in a defense against the devil. He came and used the same tools that you, the same tool, singular, that you have, and that's the written Word of God. Amen. That's why there's such an attack on the Word of God today, and has been for years. Amen. The devil would love to destroy it and take it out, all of it, and that we would be a people without a Bible. But he knows there's just too many avenues of the scriptures now. It's in digital form. Yeah, you can go into probably 300,000 or 400,000 websites that's got the Bible on it, and probably more than that. Who knows? Maybe even 1 million or 2. Who knows how many websites it's got the Bible on? So the devil knows that that's probably not going to happen as far as taking away the Bible like he did in the Dark Ages, where they would confiscate the Bibles and burn them, piles of them, thousands and thousands at a time. Because the devil knows that if I can put a separation and a distance and a division between you and the Bible, then I can wear you down and I can defeat you. Amen. But here we do have the Bible. We have the Bible. But our problem is we have the Bible, but the Bible don't have us. We have a copy. In fact, most of us have several copies. But our knowledge of the scripture is limited. And I believe that's one of the reasons the devil fights us. But you know what? And you and I that are convinced that the King James Bible is God's word for English-speaking people, we have no question on that. We take a bold stand on that. Amen. I was talking to someone, and they was referencing a big church, huge church in South Carolina, and they run several thousand people in that church. And he says the pastor preaches from the King James, but he lets the Sunday school teachers and anybody else in there use whatever they want to use. I want to tell you what that is. That's a compromiser. Amen. It's not hard to get a crowd. It's not hard to build a mega. Just let your church be similar to the world. Use those Bibles that are non-offensive. Those Bibles that are sympathetic towards sodomy. Those Bibles. Amen. By the way, the NIV is very, very passive towards sodomy. Amen. Of course, we shouldn't be surprised at that. When there was a full-blown, publicly announced lesbian on the translating committee, you know good and well she's going to translate it out to any verses that deals with it that calls it an abomination. Amen. Amen, that's right. Thank God for the Word, but I'll tell you where our problem is. It's not that we don't have a Bible, and it's not that we have a corrupt Bible. Our problem is we just have an unread Bible, and we have an unopened Bible, and we have a Bible that's still on the page. It's not in us, and may the Lord help us with that. And I know these messages wasn't really planned on my part, but they're stirring in my heart. They're stirring in the church. There's people in the church that have come to me and said, "Preacher, thank you for preaching on devotions. I knew that it was important, but I didn't realize it was that important." Amen. Church, devil don't care if you go to church. He don't care if you go to church. In fact, he goes. Devil's not going to the gyp joint and the bar stool. He's not sitting alongside of those that's drinking Miller Low Life and Bud Stupid and smoking dope and rolling dice and gambling. He's not there. Why would he go there? He's already got that crowd. I tell you where he's at. He goes to church. He goes to church. He's trying to weasel himself into the house of God. And he knows that's the army. He knows that's the army that can cause him problems and cause him issues. As if God's people get fired up and God's people gets acquainted with the sword of the Spirit and start hiding it in their heart and getting familiar with it and learning it, amen, and taking a stand when he attacks. Oh, if the church of the living God today would wake up, it would be waking up a giant against the devil. But our problem is it's not that we don't have a Bible, and it's not that we have a corrupt Bible, it's that we have an unread and unknown, unfamiliar Bible. Anyway, defeating the devil through devotions. Our last time we looked at verse 1 through 4, particularly verse 4, where the Bible said, and he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And here's what we looked at. Defeating the devil through the diet of devotion. Now, I'm not going to go back and re-preach that, but I do need to just kind of bring us up to where we're going to be tonight. This verse shows us that if you want to know if you're going to be defeated or if you're going to do the defeating, it's going to show in your diet of devotion. He parallels the thought of eating to that of devotions. Amen? We looked at that last week. In fact, when we went back in Deuteronomy 8 in verse 3 last week, in that chapter and in those verses, we discovered that it's talking about eating manna. They were in the wilderness, but they weren't eating off the wilderness. There wasn't nothing in the wilderness to eat. They were in the wilderness, but God fed them. And amen. And they fed off of that, which allowed them to live. The wilderness is saying, "I'm going to kill you. You will not live here. Nobody will make it through here because there's nothing to eat." But God said, "I'll feed." You know what this book right here is? God is saying, "I'll feed you. You won't eat off of this world. The spiritual man won't live off of this world. Oh, the physical man can eat off of this world. Amen. The fallen nature can eat off of this world, Brother Craig, but the spiritual man doesn't go through the drive-thru at Burger King or McDonald's, Brother Josh. The spiritual man Spiritual man won't eat a Whopper. Even if you put cheese on it. The spiritual man, well, there's nothing, Brother Chuck. Oh, if we could get it. The spiritual man has nothing on the menu that'll feed him other than what's in my hand and in your lap, the Word of God. Defeating the devil through the diet of devotion. When you're defeated, all I have to do is ask you, tell me about your feeding on God's Word. Tell me what you've been feeding on. Huh? Tell me what you've been feeding on. In other words, whether you are defeating the devil or the devil's defeating you, it is a diet issue. A spiritual diet. So anyway, we looked at that and we spent the whole night on that. Number two, here's where we're at tonight. My goodness, may the Lord help me. Let's look at the second verse he quoted. Let's look at the setting of it. Verse 5, 6, and 7. And this will be just where we deal with tonight. And I'm not going to go into a lot of details of it because I just want us to get the gist of it. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And by the way, when the devil's defeated because you opposed him with the scripture, he's not going to tuck tail and run off over the hill and say, "Oh Lord." No, you know what he's going to do? He's going to come into plan B. Well, that didn't work, so I'm going to try this. That avenue failed. He withstood me with the scripture. And so I'll just keep trying till I find something that he don't know the Bible on, and then I'll be successful. Whoop. But he was dealing with the living word. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written," and the devil misquotes, leaves out Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12, if you'd like to look at that when you get home, compare it and read it. "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And here comes the second verse that Jesus quotes in his defense or defeating the devil through his devotions. He quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16. I went back in today and read starting in verse 1 down through those verses. My goodness, there's a lot of preaching in that one chapter about the Word of God. But look at what it said. Jesus said to him, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So the first thing that we did was we pointed out you're defeating the devil through the diet of your devotions. Everybody understand that? Amen. There's a parallel between you feeding the physical man on bread and feeding the spiritual man on the Word of God. If you don't eat, you die. If you don't eat, you get weak. If you don't eat, you get susceptible to all kinds of sicknesses and various things. You're easily defeated when you're weak. But look what our second thought is, defeating the devil through the discernment of devotions. Oh, yes. There's a need beyond my ability to express tonight of God's people having discernment. I mentioned it a while ago that if you're not careful, when you hear "it is written" and then here comes pieces and parts of a scripture, if you're not careful, you'll be swayed to make a decision. You'll be influenced to make a decision when the one behind that was the devil himself. But he never got to first base because the one he was talking to knew well who it was that was talking to him. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, John 10 tells us that my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice. And on down in that scripture said, and my sheep know my voice. And a stranger they will not follow. Amen. 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 We're talking about defeating the devil right now. We're talking about defeating the devil through the discernment, brother, that comes through devotion. You know what devotions does? And when I'm talking about devotions, I'm talking about not just mechanically reading the scripture. Okay, I got my chapter or four chapters today or whatever. I'm talking about reading and feeding on it. I don't hardly know how that you could read four chapters and God not give you something. Unless you're reading through the all them names in Chronicles. I have to admit, it's hard. It's hard for me to get anything spiritual out of there. Other than when I read that, I say, well, at least God takes note of individuals. They've got a name that's long as my leg and got about 30 syllables in it, but God knows who they were and who they came from and who they had and who, amen. But I tell you, I believe if we are where we need to be spiritually, that when we read the Word of God, it's going to read us. It's going to speak to us. Amen. And devotions should deal with you in the area of discernment. As you read the Word of God, you become familiar with what it's saying. And so when the devil tells you something, then you're going to check that with the Word of God. Amen. Now, this is so simple, I'm telling you, this is even way below elementary teaching. God will never tell you to do something contrary to the Word of God. It's plain and simple. I've heard people say stuff that, and they were, Brother Craig, as convinced as they could be. God told me, they said, and it was as clear against the scripture as it could be. I thought, you are listening to the wrong voice. You have no discernment. Amen. Could you get in your mind someone saying this? And I'm going to add some things in there. God told me not to pray. That'd be foolish, wouldn't it? You know why we know that's foolish? We got a book, we got a Bible, and we know what the Bible says about us praying. God told me not to tithe. We check that with the book, and we know right off the bat, quickly, discern it quickly, that God wasn't the one saying that. God told me to not go to church. God told me to not go to church, to stay at home. Are you kidding me? Let me ask you, does that go against the scripture? And if it goes against the scripture, can we discern that that's not God? Amen. God told me, listen, you have to be careful when you start throwing that statement around. God told me. God told me. You need to make sure God's the one's talking to you. Because the devil, listen, in Corinthians, the devil talks about how that he is transformed into an angel of light. Brother Jeter, it didn't say he can be. It says that he is transformed into an angel of light. In other words, when you hear from him, he is so deceptive and so sly that it will, if you're not careful, you'll think that's God speaking to you. Amen. Amen. Amen, that's right. Now, the devil's not going to tell you to do the scripture. You can believe that. So if you've got a voice, you've got an impression, God's working, and you're just continually being spoken to with a scriptural thing, listen, that's not the devil. Devil's not going to tell you to do something that is in the Bible. I mean, if you got a voice that says, pray, that's not the devil. You can discern that real quick, amen. If you got something telling you, impressing you, working in your heart, amen. Go to church. You need to go to church. Regular, faithful. That's not the devil telling you that. Well, anyway. So anyway, we're talking here in verse 5, 6, and 7, defeating the devil through the discernment of devotion. I mean, think about it. How hard is it to discern this statement right here? Cast thyself down. I read that again today and I thought, how could people get in a condition to where when the enemy makes such a stupid gesture and a stupid statement like that, that people many times give in to that? But Jesus saw through it right off the bat, didn't he? Huh? Cast yourself down. Cast thyself down. I'll tell you, listen, the voice behind self-harm is not the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can you hear God telling somebody, kill yourself? Negative. You know why? That crosses and violates all piles of Scripture. Amen. God's not the author of death. He's the author of life. Amen. Amen. If you need out of here, God will take you out. God don't have no problem taking you out. And life and death is in His hands. Amen. If today's your day, listen, He can take you out. He'll never tell somebody take yourself out. And I know. Listen, in our church right here, we're sheltered a lot, but I'm telling you, there's people that harms themselves daily. Somebody, I don't remember who it was telling me about a girl that she would cut herself. A lot of people, they cut themselves. I've seen them. I've seen arms of people where they've dug holes, just dug holes plumb down into the meat, almost to the bone. You know, self-harm. And they somehow or another, they get some kind of pleasure off of that. You tell me that's God. You've been smoking dope's what you've been doing. Cutting your arm half off and you feeling something on that, feeling good about it and the pleasure and can't wait to do it again. That's demonic, friend, is exactly what that was. When the prophets of Baal was in that big showdown with Elijah on Mount Carmel, guess what they were doing? They was on the altar cutting themselves. That's demonic, friend. Yeah, and it's encouraged. Listen, it is encouraged by some levels of rock music. Suicide is encouraged in some levels of rock music. Amen. Jumping off buildings and bridges and, amen, and killing yourself. Who in their right mind would want to listen in any form of music with a message of that? Cast thyself down. Well, listen to this. Discernment. I wrote this down. Discernment. When he told Jesus, cast yourself down, he was on the pinnacle of the temple, and that was a lofty position and place. And listen, the devil knows how to elevate you. Oh, I just saw that. Oh, what's this right here? Look at it. Look at verse 5. The devil, what's the next word? Taketh him. The devil knows how to elevate you and let you climb ladders of success, let you get high in the admiration of society. The devil knows how to do that. But listen, he always has a motive. He always, Brother Ben, has a desire and a design that if I can get you high, then I can, that the higher you go, the farther you've got to fall. He doesn't take you high to promote you amen, no. He takes you high because he wants to talk you in to casting yourself down. Amen. And there's a lot of people, and I don't want to get hung up on that, but there is a lot of people that have had probably more money than all of us in here put together that ended up killing themselves. A lot of movie stars and sports stars kill themselves. Have all the fame and have all of the recognition and notoriety, but they kill themselves. Satisfaction doesn't come from being up there in that high place. Because who your buddy is up there might be the devil. But Jesus, listen, Jesus discerned and knew who it was and knew what was taking place, and he resisted. He resisted, and I'm thankful that he did. But your devotions develops your discernment. The more you spend time in the Word and prayer and talking with God and listening to God, the more you're going to know His voice. And when you hear a voice that's not God, you're going to quickly identify it and reject it and resist it. Brother James Jones, he's preaching our homecoming this year. The AG family's singing, but Brother Jones is preaching our homecoming, Lord willing. And I remember him telling me years ago, he went to the Holy Land, and he said he was in his motel room, and he heard this noise outside, and he looked out the window, and he saw this shepherd, and he was calling, some kind of racket he was making. He's calling the sheep. And Brother John said this. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I'm telling you," he said, "I got to where I could sound just like him." He said, I'd listen to him and then I'd do it. I'd listen to him, then I'd do it. He said, then I went out there. And he said, "Hey," "what are you doing?" He said, "I'm calling my sheep." He said, "Let me try it." And he said, he opened his mouth and he said, you couldn't hardly tell the difference between him and the actual shepherd. And he would call them sheep, never even lifted their head, never even paid him a bit of attention. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Amen. May God help us. Listen, can you see how this is applicable to life? Knowing the voice of God. If we could get crossed up on that, to not know His voice and not really discern between God's voice and the devil's voice, look what could happen. Look what decisions could be made. Look what directions could be chosen if we did not discern the voice of God. What's this right here? The devil even incorporates religious places and practices to bring about a suggestive offer. He took him to the holy city. He took him to the temple. How many people feels okay? Well, I go to church. Well, I go down there to RBT. Well, that don't mean nothing. That don't mean anything. The devil don't mind at all to bring you down here and let you join up. Amen. And amen. If you still don't have discernment. Oh, I thought that was interesting. The devil knows that if your discernment is low, then he can get you to consider his suggestions that are clearly harmful and against God. How many yield to decisions and directions while feeling good about that which God's word is against? I've dealt with people like that over the years. Clearly, it was clear to me that they were going in the wrong direction, but they felt good about it. And I know, listen, I'm not perfect, but over the years I've tried to let God help me to develop some discernment in my life. And if I was in a church, I would want to know about what my pastor thought about certain things. I mean, I would. He's the overseer. He's the one that watches for your soul, Hebrews 13 talks about. I'd want to know, preacher, what do you think about this? A sure sign that you're afraid to ask the preacher. It's not that you're getting my approval. It's not that I'm your Lord. It's not that you're giving account to me. It's not that I'm controlling your life. It's just that you realize that I'm an under-shepherd and I've been placed in that spiritual position, amen, with some discernment that comes with that position, amen. I would be hesitant to want to choose something that my pastor spoke negatively about. And I believe a sure sign that you're going in the wrong direction is you on purpose stay away from asking the preacher what he thinks. Amen. That's right. Amen. To me, a person don't want to know the truth if they avoid that. Amen. Well, that's maybe neither here nor there. But anyway, making good decisions and choices backed by the scriptures defeats the devil. Did y'all get that? Making decisions, choosing directions in life based on the scripture, backed by the scripture, is a way of defeating the devil. Amen. Young people, right here is your guideline. Do we not believe this? That the Word of God is the final authority of all faith and practice. Amen. This Bible right here is clear about all kinds of things. Your mate. Amen. God's not going to give you a mate that contradicts the scripture. Well, I know that that saved people and lost people is not supposed to be, you know, unequally yoked together. But you know, preach, I think I love them anyway. I mean, I love them and I think I can win them. You can love the wrong person. A saved person can love the wrong person. Just like an alcoholic. They love their drink. But how many would say that's not right? How many would say that's wrong? You can love the wrong. Well, I win them, preacher. And there is a slight percentage that happens. But are you willing to chance that? Are you willing to put your whole life, your the rest of your life in jeopardy for that? Well, amen. But I've seen them over the years willfully go against the Bible in the area of dating and marrying. And then when it train wrecks, wonder what happened. God help us. I mean, the devil fights us anyway. If you got a scriptural home, the devil fights that tooth and nail. Amen. Can I get a witness right there? A silent witness anyway. Cast yourself down. Listen to this. Listen how absurd this is. Cast yourself down. And what this is saying about the angels, you know, keeping charge over you concerning thee, and in their hands they'll bear you up, lest at any time you'd even dash your foot against a stone. The angel won't even let you stump your toe. Here's what he's saying. Cast yourself down and then expect God to prevent hurt and harm. I'm going to do something stupid, but I'm going to expect God to help me. I'm going to do something ridiculous, but oh, God loves me, and He won't let me get hurt. Well, anyway, not listening to the devil is the key to defeating the devil. Wasn't that good? Devotions is all about listening to God and learning His voice. That's why we're dealing with this, defeating the devil through the discernment of devotions. Consistently making choices to cast thyself down for God to come to your rescue and bail you out. That's what Jesus talking about. Not tempting the Lord. You don't make a foolish decision and to do something foolish against the scripture and against good sense. I mean, listen, a lot of people would be better off if they just made some decisions based on good sense. Good common, my daddy used to call it good common horse sense. I don't know what all that means. I don't know, but anyway. Just good sense. I mean, listen. I mean, you don't have to know chapters of the Bible to know something. Just look at it. Just evaluate it just a little bit. Anyway, let's move on. Amen. The devil's telling Jesus, cast yourself down. God will catch you. God will have his angels to catch you. Now, you better not worry about whether there's an angel going to catch you. You better wonder if you're going to be able to bounce. Because here's what I do know. In that setting right there, if you cast yourself down, the fall's not going to hurt you. It's that sudden stop at the bottom's going to hurt you. Unless you're just an amazing acrobat and got wings and bounce really good. I don't think that's going to be good. And when you hit, you're going to say, oh, I shouldn't have listened to that. I should have known better. Preacher Rackley preached against that. I should have known better. Oh, help us, Lord. Many times you dig your own pit and fall therein. Sometimes God builds you out, and then sometimes he may just sit back and watch. Because a lot of times, here's what happens. If he bails you out once, you'll make light of your situation. You'll make light of it, and you'll be right back there again expecting God to bail you out again. And God will go out of the bailing business before long. Amen. If the devil, listen to this, this whole case that Jesus, he's dealing with Jesus here about in verse 3 and also again in verse 6 is on the little word if. I'm about done, I'm about fixing close. Is the little word if. If thou be the Son of God. Now, did the devil know that that was Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son, manifest in the flesh? Of course. He was the one that threw the devil out of heaven. Amen. He knew who it was. But he's showing us here that one of the things he has seen to be successful with is if he can put an if in your mind about who you are and what you are, then he's going to arouse that pride of proving. Yeah, I'll show you. I'll show you. If, watch this, the devil builds the word if there, and the word if identifies a question. It identifies, you know, well, we don't know who you are. We don't know. People don't know. You need to do this to prove who you are. If you be the Son of God, then cast yourself down. If you live through it, you're the Son of God. That's stupid, isn't it? But the devil wants you to prove, get into that proving yourself that you are this or that. Proving yourself to the devil. Why? He knew, of course, who he was talking to. But nevertheless, he still put an if there. Trying to arouse pride to prove. Well, I don't want to ever get into a condition where I think I've got to prove. Be challenged, and life will have some challenges to it. And the challenge will be that you need to prove yourself. You need to prove it. Amen. The devil has an agenda with that. Amen. The devil knew of the potential and purpose of Jesus, and he desired in a weak time of hunger to attack Jesus and even attack his identity. But Jesus Christ passed the test. You know why? He used the Scripture. He used the Scripture, and he had discernment. May the Lord help us. We've looked at first, there was defeating the devil through the diet of devotions, feeding. And we've looked tonight, just simple thought there. Defeating the devil through the discernment of devotion. The discernment that comes through spending time in this book. Getting familiar with the sword of the Spirit. Getting familiar with the God of the Scriptures. Getting familiar with the Holy Spirit. Brother Craig is the one that wrote the Bible. He used holy men of old. He used their penmanship, but he was the author. The Holy Spirit was the author. And so the more time you spend in this book, the more familiar you're going to get with the author of the Bible. I believe the one that wrote this book probably is qualified to lead me.